I'm Brad Locke, and you are listening to Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Feels like it should be Saturday already, Brendan.
It's playoff season, so it just sort of feels like every day is longer than a day, maybe?
Yeah, kind of been that way. I think we're all getting overtime this week. That's all I know.
It really depends on how Friday shakes out.
Yeah, it does with the weather, which is always...
Washes out, I guess.
Yeah, there you go. See how it all comes out in the wash.
There you go.
Welcome, I'm Brad with Brendan here on this Wednesday. The 1st of May, somehow, is already here. I don't know what to tell you. Updates from the Diamond coming for you. Got a little spring football as well. I want to remind you that we come to you every Wednesday. You can find us on iTunes or Spotify, any of your podcast apps. And follow us on Twitter at DJournalSports. And go to Pizza Doctor sometime if you get a hankering for pizza. They're our sponsor, and their pizza is delicious. We had the sausage. We had the chicken Alfredo today. Two staples. Pizza Doctor, Midtown Point in Tupelo. We've got a ton to talk about on the baseball and softball playoff front, so we'll just dive in. Saltillo's baseball team, one of the few that played on Monday because of the rain. They took on Ridgeland in Game 3 of their Class 6A first-round series. So I got out to that game, and it rained for most of the game. Sometimes very, not heavy, but... not just a drizzle either. Kind of medium, I guess, at times. Whatever. But they got the game in, and Saltillo rolled to a 15-3 win to advance. They just jumped all over Ridgeland in the first inning with six runs and was never really a contest after that. So Cooper Burleson had a big night at the plate, two doubles, a triple, two RBIs. And Will Lipscomb did a good job on the mound. He's their number three, usually a guy that would pitch on like a Saturday. Not a division guy, but he threw it pretty well. Gave up eight hits and the three runs, but they didn't get – they got five of those hits in the fifth inning, which was the last inning because they 10-run ruled them. So Saltillo, which reached the 5A finals last year, now advancing to the quarterfinals in 6A. Then last night went out to Moorville. They took on Boonville in another game three there in 3A. Boonville walked it off in game two. Colin Fleury hit that home run, but this game was not that close. I had back-to-back run rule games, Brendan. Love it. Unlike you.
Yeah, exactly. I had the opposite problem.
Moorville won 10-0. Wyatt McDaniels, as I mentioned in the office earlier, is a full-grown man, even though he's just a freshman, so like, what, 15 years old? And he cranked a grand slam last night to center field that I'm not sure has landed yet. He got all of it and then some. It's his fifth grand slam of the season. I've never heard of a kid hitting five grand salamis in a single season.
Never mind, insane.
A freshman.
I was going to say, I was wondering if I was trying to jog my memory to see if I was there for one of them.
You probably were, odds are. He's got eight home runs on the season, five with the bases loaded. That big home run by Wyatt Tuesday night made it an 8-0 lead. I kind of blew the game open there for Moorville in the fourth inning. So, yeah, that made it 8-0. He had six RBIs on the night. Also had a two-run double earlier in the game. And he catches, he pitches. So he played catcher last night. Mason Guillentine was on the bump and threw it pretty well. In fact, he only gave up two hits to Boonville.
I've checked my Twitter history, and it turns out, yes, I was, in fact, in attendance for a Wyatt McDaniels Grand Slam back on March 7th in a 17-4 run rule win. Or I don't know if that was actually run rule. No, it wasn't. It just ended in seven.
Oh, wow.
they went nuts in the final inning.
I mean, this kid, McDaniels, has played a lot of high-level baseball since he was a kid, you know, travel and whatnot. And we've known, you know, for the, I guess, past several months, especially ever since he stepped on the football field, that he had a lot of natural ability. And that's when I started to kind of look him up baseball, what he does baseball-wise. And he's going to be a prospect. He is a prospect, big-time prospect. Honestly, I mean, I don't know. I haven't asked him if baseball. I'm assuming that's going to be his route. But I'll tell you what, he can be one of the best quarterbacks in the area if he wants to be. He was last year until he got hurt. So Morville moves on to the next round. Let's see. South Pontotoc and Tishomingo County last night. That was your game, Brendan, which did not go just five innings. It went eight innings. Had some drama at the end, though.
Oh, yeah. That game had a little bit of everything. It was one of those deals where, South Pontotoc scored in each of the first five innings for a grand total of nine runs.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of figured they would just run away with it at some point. But Tisch County just hung in there. You know, I don't really think they ever trailed by more than like three or four.
Mm-hmm.
So, they just kind of hung in there. And then, they had it down to, I think, three runs heading into the bottom of the seventh.
Yeah. You're getting ready to pack up and leave. The South Pontotoc just needed three outs up three. And
they had two outs. And there was only like a runner on first, maybe a runner on second. You know, there was only one runner on.
Yeah.
And then they were down by three runs in the top of the seventh with two outs. And I'm like, all right, well, I can start heading down there. Because kind of one of my fears, I like taking photos of the scoreboard just to make sure I have all the innings and stuff right.
Right.
And I'm always afraid that if I start heading down after it ends, by the time I'm down there, they clear the scoreboard. Because some schools are faster at that than others.
Yeah.
That wasn't the case. And then Tisch County just – there were a couple different two-out rallies in that game.
Mm-hmm.
I had a really hard time trying to condense that game into – 300 some words. There were a couple different two out rallies in that game, and there was another one in the seventh. Tisch County loads the bases and then tied the game from there without needing a hit. It was, I believe, back-to-back bases loaded walks and then a hit by pitch. It was unbelievable. And I was telling you guys earlier, at that point we had been there for like 3 hours, and I about threw something. it was a little brutal, but
yeah.
And then extra innings, Tisch County doesn't score, South Pontotoc loads the bases, and at that point you're just like, okay, well, you just need a fly ball. And Eli Holloway, who at that point had already had I think three hits and at least one RBI at that point as their leadoff hitter.
Yeah. He got him a fly ball, all right.
Just hits like a towering fly ball into right center that I kind of lost it in the lights. So, but, they called it a home run on the PA and all that. So I just was like, all right.
Yeah. Walk off grand slam.
Yeah. I mean, that's one way to do it. You're going to walk it off, do it with style points. Who needs a sacrifice fly when you can just hit it out of the park entirely?
I know, right? 13-9 was the final there, so South Pontotoc winning its 4A series against Tisch County. Some other notable results, had some heroics up in Ripley last night as well. Cooper Davis hit a walk-off home run as Ripley won its series against, who was that, Newton County?
Yeah, that sounds so. Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's a 4A playoff series there. So yeah, Cooper Davis, 4A is tough around here. I mean, we just talked about South Pontotoc and Tisch, and then Ripley and 4A, they were down 2-0 entering the bottom of the seventh, and then I think it was a two-run home run Davis hit for the Tigers. So yeah, 4A pretty tough to navigate this postseason. Other results, East Union softball beat Sebastopol in game three of their series. You had West Union beating Tupelo Christian in 1A baseball, game three there. Hatley softball lost to Union in a game three in 2A. So we've got all the scores updated at djournal.com. Looking ahead now, we've got some fun matchups. Let's look at baseball first, Brendan. West Union, Pine Grove, two solid teams. I mean, you got Greer Manning for West Union, one of the best players in the area. Garrig Chenal for Pine Grove, one of the best in the area. Really, I would say in 1A, those two guys are two of the best there are in the state. Let's see. You've got Hatley and Hamilton, Monroe County rivals. That'll be fun. You've got Nettleton, East Webster in 3A, Alcorn Central and Morville also in 3A. Kosciuszko, Ripley in 4A, West Lauderdale and South Pontotoc. West Lauderdale always tough. That's in 4A. Pontotoc Lafayette in 5A. A lot of these division opponents are running into each other. So, softball next round. Again, this is the quarterfinal round for everybody. So in 1A, you got West Union and Pine Grove there as well. You've got in 3A, going to be some fun matchups, Belmont, Kossuth, and Mantachie Boonville. 4A, Itawamba AHS over Caledonia. Itawamba won their game 3 last night. You got Corinth and Pontotoc in 5A. Saltillo playing Neshoba Central in 6A. That was a heck of a series last year in the North Finals. So a lot of good action this weekend. A lot of these series starting Thursday because it's supposed to rain Friday. Some series are still scheduled to start Friday. And hopefully we'll have games Saturday, game 2s, and then game 3s on Monday. So we'll have a ton of coverage as we've had throughout the playoffs at djournal.com and in your daily journal.
Brad, let me point out, I know you just mentioned that a lot of the regional opponents are playing each other, but that 3A softball bracket where the entire like North semifinals are all the same region is pretty wild.
And not surprising either, because that region is just stacked and has been for years.
But it's I can't imagine that happens that often.
It happens with that region often, but not many others, no. But that's the best region in the state, I would say, in any classification, is 1-3A with Boonville, Kossuth, Mantachie. It's just, yeah, it's nuts.
It's the Thunderdome.
I know, right? Okay, spring football real quick. You got out to Saltillo on, what, Tuesday? How the Tigers looking? Yeah. They made a step forward last year, made the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, you just kind of look at their history over the last few years. You know, they won one game in 2020, but they have one more game each following year. So 2-9 in 21, 3-8 in 22, 4-8 last year. So, I mean, there are positive steps being taken. And, you know, I mean, you hope that they can build off it. I mean, it's their first playoff game in a decade.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's... that's substantial.
Yeah, it is. It is. Because Saltillo has just really never been known as a football school. Now they're in 6A, and that's extra tough.
Yeah, no, that's – sort of feel like at that point, if you're not a football school, right, it's going to be really tough to kind of win your way out of that one, right? But, you know, maybe like a 4-8 and 2-3 record in region won't blow anybody away from last year. But, I mean, that's still – something.
Yeah, it is. And I think they've definitely gotten better with Ryan Finch as head coach. I got down to West Point last week. Of course, the new head coach there, Brett Morgan, took over for Chris Chambliss, who led West Point for 18 years, won 7 state titles, including the 5A title last season. Brett Morgan is a longtime assistant at West Point. I mean, it's just like with all these coaches, most of them have been there 12 to 15 years or more. And they're keeping pretty much everyone on staff. One coach is retiring, but otherwise everybody is going to be back on that coaching staff. And they lost a lot of great talent. Obviously, Cannon Daniels went to your Florida Gators, Brendan, the running back, Daily Journal Offensive Player of the Year. But, you know, this is a team that is always going to find guys who can run the ball. They've got, I think, 4 starting offensive linemen back. That's huge. I mean, this is a run-heavy offense. They've got a bunch of good guys back on defense. Louis Ficella, Ahmad McKinney, a lot of really good players at each level, defensive line, linebacker, defensive back. And defense is obviously a big thing they hang their hat on at West Point. So I'm not expecting a letdown. I mean, it's like Alabama has a new head coach. Now, nobody is Nick Saban, but I still wouldn't bet against Bama just yet, and I wouldn't bet against West Point. It's a little different situation, obviously, because, like I said, West Point, they got such great continuity on the coaching staff, and that program just runs like a machine. So I expect them to be as competitive as ever next season. Let's wrap things up with Athletes of the Week. You can vote for male and female Athletes of the Week on our Twitter page at DJournal Sports. The female nominees this week: Hallie Benson of Smithville, Lizzie Meeks of Pine Grove, and A.K. Willingham of Saltillo. Male nominees: Brady Stinnett of Oxford, J.D. Whitaker of Hamilton, and Caden Whitlock of Tupelo Christian. And that is all the time we have for this episode of Prep Rally. Thanks again for joining us. Every Wednesday, you can find us in iTunes, Spotify, or any of your podcast apps. Again, follow us on Twitter at DJournalSports. Check out our sponsor, Pizza Doctor, at Midtown Point in Tupelo. Oh, and I'm on Twitter at Brad Locke. Brendan's on there at BFerrell727. Pod Gator not on Twitter, but he's here with us. So, okay, thank you. We'll see you next time.